Father, I just thank you for all that came out this morning to sit in your presence. I thank you, Father God, that you are still in your throne. You're still working with your people. And you are doing a glorious and mighty works in their lives. And Father, every need this morning, I would like to have it met before they leave here. I would like, Father God, for your glory to come down in such a way that our lives will be changed and transformed. And Jesus, I thank you for your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to see you here this morning. And we know that Christmas is coming upon us real soon. And I hope that you're all prepared for that morning to worship the Father and not the gift. Amen. You know, we all have to understand that God is in control of all things. And even though we think that things aren't turning out the way that we think they should, God knows exactly what he's doing. And instead of us getting on a twit, we need to say, thank you, Father, that you know exactly what you're doing. And we just praise him for it. All right, you know, with this thing about President being impeached, and God said he wouldn't be, when it's all said and done, he won't be. Brother Chris called and told me about it. And as he was talking to me, God said, it isn't over till it's over. And, you know, and it isn't over till it's over in all of our lives. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Whatever God has spoken is a thing that's going to come to pass. Not what man or woman desires, but what God has spoken will surely come to pass. So in your lives, I don't care what you're seeing, if God has spoken a word to you, then God's word is what's going to come forth, not what you're looking at. And we know that a lot of bad things are coming down the road. We also know that God told us, even though the bad things are coming down the road, he was going to keep those that are his. So we don't have to be concerned about the bad things that are coming down the road. We just have to keep praising him and thanking him for what he's doing in our lives. And he's saying he wants you to know he is in total and complete control. And you need to let him have control. Amen. All right, let's start the teaching this morning. God is speaking, my children. It is surely hallelujah time all across this United States of America. I surely am making America great again, but I'm not doing it the way you would think. I am moving in unprecedented ways. You do not understand my thinking, and therefore you do not understand what I am doing all across this land called America. God said, we are in a time of total and complete liberty. A time when all enemies of the cross will be put under our feet, and you will walk in a new precedence, and you will accomplish much for the kingdom of heaven. Now, the word precedence means the condition of being considered more important than someone or something else, priority in importance, order, or rank. So God said, we are in a time of total and complete liberty, a time when all enemies of the cross will be put under our feet, and you will walk in a new precedence, and you will accomplish much for the kingdom of heaven. So what God is doing in you, he's making everything brand new. He's taking out the old, I'm hearing him say, waste places. And in place of the waste places, he's bringing himself in all of his glory. God said, many will run to your light, and your light will dispel all darkness. I have called you forth to be light bearers at this given time, and you will accomplish much for the kingdom of light. Now, a lot of you in here have your own ministries. You need to understand that you are a light bearer. And it doesn't matter what the darkness is trying to do. It cannot penetrate your light. Your light is penetrating its darkness. All right. Now, Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 9. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. You need to understand this morning that God's glory is coming upon you. It's already there, and he's going to burst it forth in a way you've never thought he would. And it doesn't matter what the kingdom of darkness says. They can't stop you. God says, too many think my son is as just a carpenter's son. But my son is so much more than that, and it is time you come to grips that he is a son of the Most High God. And he came to you as a simple baby lying in a manger to overcome the enemy and give you weapons of warfare, whereas you can destroy all the works of the enemy, not just one here and there. And in the Bible, now what they said about Jesus, oh, he's just a carpenter's son. And Jesus, God is saying, too many think of my son as just the carpenter's son. And this is the way the church thinks. We don't think of him as a carpenter's son. We just think he doesn't exist. You know, that's what the church thinks. But my son is so much more than that. And it is time you come to grips that he is the son of the Most High God. And he came to you as a simple baby lying in a manger to overcome the enemy and give you weapons of warfare, whereas you can destroy all the works of the enemy, not just one here and there. He came and destroyed every yoke. Listen to what God's saying. He came and destroyed every yoke of the enemy. And when he was ready to come back to the throne room, he cried out, it is finished. In John 19:30 says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. God said, do you understand what was finished? Do you understand what was finished? I don't think that you do. Every day is a learning curve, and you must learn of the newness of life in the Son. Each and every day, there is not one day in your life that goes by that you do not need to be renewed in what the cross accomplished for you. Read that again, because I really believe that you don't understand what Jesus did. Do you understand what was finished on the cross? I don't think that you do. Every day is a learning curve, and you must learn of the newness of life in the Son each and every day. Each and every day we must learn that. There is not one day in your life that goes by that you do not need to be renewed in what the cross accomplished for you. A couple years ago, God said, the body of Christ is not using all the weapons of warfare that he has given us. Jesus, dying on the cross, gave us many weapons. And we did not even understand it. He gave us weapons. God said the purpose for the event in history was to bring you great joy and victory. The cross was to bring you great joy and victory, not lock you up in the quarters of hell to be tormented by the enemy. How many in the body of Christ don't live in joy and victory, but they live in constant torment? And God is saying the purpose for this event in history was to bring you great joy and victory, not lock you up in the quarters of hell to be tormented by the enemy. Then God goes on to say, the church went off course, and when the shepherds went off course, so did all the sheep. See that? I am calling new shepherds to the sheepfolds and teaching them how to lead my sheep out of captivity into newness of life. If the shepherds would have been doing their job, when we do deliverances, the people are really bound up deep down inside, and it's really a work of God to get them free. If shepherds would have been doing their job all these years, we wouldn't have all this bondage in the body of Christ, in individuals. If the shepherds themselves would have been holy and without sin, they would have been teaching against sin, and people would not have went off course and thought they could go ahead and go to heaven still sinning. God is upset with that, has been upset with that, and now he's going to bring new shepherds on the scene, shepherds that he is teaching, and they will walk in holiness and purity of heart. They will even be shepherds that have been bound and now are free. You might be one of those. God goes on to say, this transition that is going on even as we speak will bring new life and new light into the kingdom of darkness. And the new life and new light will transform the souls into my glorious little ones that will lead others into the light. This transition that is going on right now, and there is a great transition going on in case you don't understand this. This transition that is going on even as we speak will bring new life and new light into the kingdom of darkness. and the new life and new light will transform the souls into my glorious light. I'm sorry, glorious little ones that will lead others into the light. God is trying to bring people out of darkness into the light so he can free them up, so he can send them forth to free others up. But what is happening is, in the body of Christ, people keep going back to their old sin nature. They never stay free, so therefore they can't be sent forth to minister to other people. It is just as simple as all that. And if pastors would just get it together and start teaching their people the truth, we would see much freedom in the body of Christ. God said, this is a totally new era where you will see new worship emerge from my churches, worship that will lead the body continually into a path of joy, great joy, joy unspeakable and full of my glory. God said, do not waste your time wondering. Just enjoy the new atmosphere around about you. This new atmosphere, along with the weapon of joy, see, there's a weapon of joy, will defeat the enemy at every turn. Yes, I said the weapon of joy, for you see, joy is a weapon that, if used properly, will tear down the pits of darkness and despair. You are my beloved ones. I know from whence you came, and I understand that you are under attack continually. But if you just use the weapon of praise, you will turn the darkness into the greatest light show that the church and world has ever seen. Are you seeing? Are you understanding what God is saying to you? Body of Christ, you have to allow God to take you through this transition of the old way into the new way, the old you into the new you. What you used to do is not the right thing, and God is trying to transform you into the new thing, but you're still looking back at what used to be or how people are still hurting you, and you can't get out of that mud hole that you're in so God can bring you into his glorious light. Now, if we're really celebrating the birth of Jesus, then we need to celebrate his joy. We need to celebrate what he really did to us, for us, whenever he was born in that manger. As we were watching that one song, Oh, What a Difference a Baby Makes, you, if you stop and think about it, you know, the baby was conceived in Mary supernaturally by a miracle of God, and she had to go through all the shame and the disgrace, but she brought forth the perfect gift, Jesus, who came to give us life and life more abundantly. But she went through the disgrace and scorn, so did Joseph. If you read the word, they came against both of them because they knew that they were doing the works for the Father. So you're sitting in the body of Christ, and people come against you and say mean, evil things about you, and instead of you just going ahead and do like Mary and Joseph did and endure all that and go on and do what God's calling you to do, you quit. You just quit. You sit down. Well, God, if I'm called of you, why am I going through all this? That's why you're going through all this, is because God's called you. And I'm telling you, every battle you fight is worth the end result. And the end result should always be souls. And the deeper you're calling, the more the people are going to come against you. They're going to say all manner of evil about you. I'm sorry, they're not going to hold you up on a pedestal and look, oh, look who this is. No, they're going to talk about you. They want to destroy you. They're going to ridicule you, and they're going to try to make you even, you know, back down from what you truly believe. They're going to want to make you compromise. And what has God told us? Do not compromise. As I look around, every one of you are in a battle right now. The enemy's fighting you on all sides. He's fighting me too. But we can't give in to this battle, because we are going to have the greatest victory that you've ever seen. Amen? Come on. God says, come out from amongst the naysayers and join the heavenly hosts that cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, continually, and who know complete, absolute joy. Come out from among the naysayers. If you're around people that's always dragging you down, get rid of them. Walk away from them. You don't have to stay around people who tear you down. That's your choice. Evidently, there's something in you that likes to be torn down, and so you stay around these people. That feeds that need inside of you. Get away from them. I don't stay around people that tear me down. I didn't say I didn't love them. I said I don't stay around them. I pray for them because they have something wrong with them, or they wouldn't be tearing people down, right? Isaiah 6:3 says, "And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" And that's why I played, another reason why I played that song. They were saying about how they cried, "Holy, holy, holy, and hallelujah." We need to learn to do as the angels did. We need to learn how to praise the Father. And God said, "This is Christmas, the day of my son's birth. Rejoice with him as he rejoices over you this wonderful day." And he does not regret one day of what he had to endure to see the church rise up out of the miry clay and step into the glorious light of my kingdom authority. I mean, a glorious light. Do you read that again and listen to what he says? "This is Christmas, the day of my son's birth. Rejoice with him as he rejoices over you this wonderful day. And he does not regret one day of what he had to endure to see the church rise up out of the miry clay and step into the glorious light of my kingdom authority." How many in the body of Christ cannot say that they did that? That you rejoice and you don't regret one bit of pain or aggravation you had to go through to see somebody come up out of the miry clay and be put in their proper place in Christ. All right, let's just take the street ministry. Saturdays are bitter cold. And whoever goes on the street ministry are cold. And they know to bundle up, but they don't regret. They don't fuss and moan and groan and complain. "Oh, it's Saturday and I got to go out in that cold street and minister to those drug addicts and those alcoholics." They don't say that. They say, "It's Saturday. It's wonderful. We can go and minister to those lost souls and see them come into God's glorious light. Oh, I got to go to church today and face those dumb sheep." You know? You don't think that way. You think, "Well, Father God, it's another chance for me to give the word and hope this day it'll sink in and they'll start changing." God says, "Come, cry holy, 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 and join the angel choir, and never stop praising my son, and the entire Godhead will be at your disposal." He said, as you praise, the entire Godhead will be at your disposal. God said, as you read in my word, the three wise men came to seek him. The shepherd boys came to see the newborn king. They knew something wonderful and mysterious had just taken place. They never once said, "Look, a carpenter's son is born this day." They proclaimed throughout all Judea that it was a glorious night that the Savior was born. You see that? As you read my word, the three wise men came to seek him. The church is not seeking God. I don't know what they're seeking. A lot of people are saying they're seeking self, but they're not seeking God. They're not seeking more of him. They don't really want more of his presence. They just come to church. I don't know what's going on today, but it used to be when I went to the other churches, everybody was going to church to show off their new outfit. You know? And they weren't going to church for the right reason. And God says, "Beautiful ones, make this a glorious occasion to spread my love, joy, and laughter wherever you go during this season of my son's birth and far beyond this season." I noticed the Connell family, they're all dressed up for Christmas. They got bells and whistles and candles and elves and everything else on. But I'm not putting you down, but did you seek that much time in God's face as you did figuring out what you was going to wear to just be whatever, Christmassy? Did you spend that much time in God's face? You have to think about this. "Well, it's Christmas, so I had to wear red, green, or whatever." Sister Barbara said, "Where's your Christmas duds?" Well, when I was getting dressed, I just had to get dressed. I didn't think to have a red or a green blouse. You know, and I just want you to think. Do you put as much thought in God as you do what you're wearing? Right? Think about this. God said, beautiful ones, make this a glorious occasion to spread my love, joy, and laughter wherever you go during this season of my son's birth and far beyond this season. Celebrate his birth over and over again. Sing of his loving kindness. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born, that he is well, that he is interceding for you and awaits the day when you can walk the corridors of heaven with him. God said, safety was also born on that glorious night. His arms will protect you from all harm. You must run into his everlasting arms, and you must at all costs go tell it on the mountains that a Savior was born on that glorious night. See why we played that song? I hope that song, I heard some of you get a little bit jumpy on, and I was glad you did, because that means it was going into your spirit. And I hope you remember the song when you leave here today. Then God says, rejoice, 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 for unto you a child was born of a virgin to save a lost and depraved world. My son will never again go to the cross. He accomplished all that was meant to be accomplished. All of hell rejoiced the day he was found guilty and hung on the cross, but they very soon learned that my son Jesus was to become their worst nightmare. And you know, I was, you know, the day they were announcing the impeachment, and God said to me, he said, I'm likening my son President, some of you are going to get upset, but this is what God said. I'm likening my son, President Donald J. Trump, to Jesus. And then he said, whenever Jesus was hung on the cross, all hell rejoiced, but he became their worst nightmare. And he says, now Donald, President Donald Trump, my son, is going to now be the world's worst nightmare. And then I read an article this morning about 3 o'clock this morning where somebody else said God likened Jesus unto Donald Trump. God likened them, like whenever Jesus went before Pontius Pilate, wasn't it? You know, he gave him a chance to say something. And I didn't read the rest of the article. I didn't have time. And I said, well, thank God. It's just not me that heard something like that. See, we don't understand what's going on. We just have to trust God and know that he's in control and he knows exactly what he's doing. All right, God said, all of hell trembles as you rejoice. See that? As you rejoice, all of hell trembles because they know all too well that their foundation is crumbling even as we speak. All of hell trembles as you rejoice. As you rejoice, that's the only way it's going to happen. Because they know all too well that their foundation is crumbling even as we speak. God said the earthquakes in hell have already begun. Their kingdom is already falling apart. Do you understand that? You act like hell is fortified. Like Satan is the Almighty. Like nothing can touch it. Nothing can shake hell. But hell, God said right here, the earthquake in hell have already begun. Their kingdom is already falling apart. God said they will throw one last punch, you know, hell, and then it will all be over. Their punches had no power and never will, for my son broke that power when he stated, it is finished. It is finished is so true, God said. All your nightmares are finished as you understand what the cross was all about and the freedom it provided and still provides for you. It is finished is so true. All your nightmares are finished as you understand what the cross was all about and the freedom it provided and still provides for you. You know, I'm very sorry for people who were sexually abused as children. I'm sorry there were things happened to you because, you know, things happened to me too as a child. But God, Jesus, when he went on the cross, made a way for us to get over that. All those deep wounds are down inside of you. We're hung on that cross. So why are you still holding on to them? Why is your past... No, this is not condemnation, what you think. Why are you holding on to the past of what people used to do to you? I mean, I could really stay in that mud hole all my life if I wanted to, but I chose to get out of it and believe that Jesus loves me and he knew what was going on in my life and there was a plan and a purpose for everything. So why are you holding on to that junk? Let go of it because Jesus said it is finished on the cross. Satan has no more The only power and authority Satan has over you is what you allow him to have. Come on. John 19:30 says, when Jesus had received sour wine, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished, is what he said. Some of you don't act like it's finished. I had to go through all the junk of being set free when I became born again. I didn't know all this stuff before I was born again. But Jesus taught me this. So I'm telling you, you don't have to live in your past pain. You don't. You choose to live there. Well, that's not true. Well, you know, in a sense it is. And I'm not going to say that the pain is going to be yanked out of you immediately unless God performs a miracle. But please, if you're going through deliverance, please let it come out little by little, if that's the way God's desiring it. Let him empty you out totally and completely of all your pain. And you and Brother Adam was blowing the shofar for abandonment. I saw God's face as a God. Am I living in abandonment? That all these people have left me and left me all alone? Are you understanding this? Okay, let's go back. But what I'm just trying to tell you, you can't hold on to things. You have to let them go. That young whippersnapper could have come up here 10 minutes away and helped me, but he didn't want to. That inconvenienced him. That's how I'm looking at that. Pastor, I'll drop everything I'm doing and I'll come because you need my help. Jesus, I'll drop everything I'm doing because you want me to go and pray. Are you listening? Come on. Where are we at? All right. God said, reach out this day and receive the cross. Hold it tight to your bosom and never, ever allow the enemy to take the cross from you ever again. Every time the enemy comes at you, just say, it is finished. And that's what I said last night. It is finished. Amen. The cross finished the works, and I have the cross with me daily. The cross / Jesus Christ, that's who's with me constantly, and God always makes a way. It is finished. You don't have to hold on to grudges or nothing else. It is finished. You don't have to hold on to perversion. It is finished. You don't have to hold on to losing your loved ones. It is finished. This is where I was thinking about abandonment, you know, because I've had about 4 loved ones taken away from me just in the last couple of years, you know, counting sisters. And I thought, do I have the spirit of abandonment? See, you should always check yourself. You never know what's in there. I've had the people in the body of Christ, you know, do things to abandon me. And I was glad that God told Brother Adam that, because I was able to check myself. Did you check yourself? Or did you say to yourself, oh, well, he's blowing that horn again, you know? You see, I want you to see how serious this really is. And we are not taking God serious enough. All right. Lost my place again. God said another weapon we can use is Luke 4. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Who led him into the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. For 40 days, being tempted by the devil in those 40 days, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. He didn't say he was thirsty, he said he was hungry. And the devil said to him, to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, the devil knew who he was. He said, command the stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written. So whenever the devil comes to tempt you to get into perversion, say, it is written, I'm supposed to be holy, not defiled. We have 2 weapons there. It is finished, and it is written. It is written, I need to love Brett, my brother, no matter what he didn't do. See, it is written. I'm just using this as an example. I hope you don't get offended. Each one of you could do that. You have examples you could use, right? And God said, children, this is a humdinger. I thought, the enemy is furious right now, for he sees your hearts and he knows that you are finally grasping hold of what the cross did for you. So I looked up the word humdinger, and it says, call something good, call it cool, call it nice, call it excellent, but if you think it is really outstanding, call it a humdinger. Humdinger is a word for a person or thing that is remarkably excellent. And so God said, children, this is a humdinger. The enemy is furious right now, for he sees your hearts and he knows that you are finally grasping hold of what the cross did for you. See that? You're a humdinger. See that? God said, oh, my precious little ones, enjoy this season of my son's birth. The enemy has already thrown some rocks at this special occasion, but don't allow him to totally destroy all that the manger brought forth. You know, people are saying, well, he really wasn't born in December. Who cares? You know, who cares? You probably weren't born January the 10th either. Probably it was January the 9th, but they put 10th on your birth certificate. You know what I'm saying? Then God said, the manger also brought forth restitution. Restitution of all things, and I am restoring today all that the palmer and cankerworm have stolen. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that he's really restoring today everything that the palmer and cankerworm have stolen? I do. But if you don't believe it, you can't be restored to anything. You have to truly believe. Now, restitution is the act of returning something that has been lost or stolen or compensating for the theft of or damage to property. In the Bible, it most often refers to an owner being reimbursed by someone who has stolen or harmed the owner's property. So, God is restoring all things that the palmer and cankerworm has stolen from us. We're still in a Job experience, and now we're going to have more in the end than we had in the beginning. So, are you ready to receive the more in the end than you had in the beginning? Some of you didn't have anything. But see, God's going to give you an abundance. All right? God said, at all cost, I will uphold all that occurred that night in the manger, and I will uphold all that my son stands for. Then he says, will you do the same? God said, at all cost, I will uphold all that occurred that night in the manger, and I will uphold all that my son stands for. Will you do the same? Will you at all costs rejoice in this Christmas season and destroy the works of the wicked, evil one that is going to spend his eternity in hellfire, while you sit at the feet of my son being fed fresh manna from heaven? God said, the manger made you more than a conqueror, because a more than a conqueror was born on that beautiful night over 2,000 years ago. God said, oh, what a glorious night. Celebrate it like you mean it, and rejoice in it, knowing that you were freed that night long before the cross. You were freed the minute Jesus was born. But Jesus had to walk through his 33 years of life and do the cross so it would be finished. It started at birth, but it finished at his death. Some of you in here right now, God is trying to get you to die to yourself. He's trying to make you understand that you are more than a conqueror, and you don't need to stay on the path of darkness that you've been on, but he's brought you on a path of glorious light, and he wants to shed his love abroad upon you. Are you understanding this? You know, we in the body of Christ, we're too, you know, thin-skinned. The other day, I don't know, a week ago or so, somebody that comes here came in all bent out of shape, and because the enemy is really harassing them, and they said, well, it doesn't seem like deliverance is doing any good, so I'm going to go see a psychiatrist. Well, lo and behold, I didn't know that was said. And so I was teaching, and I said, why do you turn to a psychiatrist, and the person happened to be here? And so somebody else got offended thinking I was talking about them. Isn't that dumb? I always say, if the shoe fits, put it on. I was using that as an example of what people do. See, you're so thin-skinned, you still have all these wounds inside that you think everything that's said is aimed at you. So you know right then and there you have a problem. And I'm not saying that that's bad, because I understand that. But what I'm saying is you have to move forward and quit allowing the enemy to use those past wounds to keep you stuck in a rut, where you can never really do the things that God would have you to do. that you'll never come to the fullness of what God has for your life. Now, Sister Elizabeth is here this morning, and she's going out on a venture for God. And I know that I know that I know that God is in this, and we need to keep her covered in prayer. And I just know that God's going to do a marvelous thing. She's stepping out in faith. She's a widow all by herself and doesn't really have, you know, a mate that she can talk to. But God is making a way for her. I think that's true. That's what I'm hearing anyhow. God is making a way for her, and she's just stepping out in faith. You know, Sister Barbara stepped out in faith, even though she was going through her deliverances. She stepped out in faith and did what God had her doing, and she's having a beautiful time with the Lord. These just little things that I know, you know, that are going on. I'm trying to encourage you that you're not the only one that's in a rut, that others are in the hole too. But God told me one time, you're not the only one in the boat. What did he tell the prophet? You're not the only prophet left. You remember the prophet saying, I'm the only prophet left. He says, no, you're not. You get out of that little self thing, you know. No, you're not. He was feeling sorry for himself. So you're not the only one in these positions. There's a whole lot in the body of Christ in the same message you're in. But we all serve the same God. We all serve the same Jesus that was born. We all serve the same Jesus that died. And we all are being looked over by the Godhead, and God is not going to let us go astray. He's not going to let the enemy take you. I'm going to say one thing right here this morning. God has been dealing with me about, teaching me about, everybody's days are numbered. And when your day's up, you're going to go. It doesn't matter what you do, you're going to go. And so he's been telling me, you have to work the works of God every day, because you don't know when your day is up. And so if you'll work the works that God has called you to do, you will accomplish everything God ever wanted you to accomplish the day you die. Your works will be done. But if you sit around and let the enemy keep you bound up, you're never going to do everything God's called you forth to do. And so when your numbered day is up, there's unfinished work. There are souls that have not been reached. And it's going to be your fault. God's going to ask you, why did you not do your works when the light was there? Are you listening? And I know that none of you in here this morning wants to stand before God and say, you won't have an answer. You have to do the work that God called you forth. Right now, we're getting ready to go into a brand new year. What are you taking into the new year that you should have left in the old year? Because God said, if you take baggage into your new year, you're gonna have to carry it all year long. So I'm asking you this morning, whatever baggage you're carrying, drop it at the cross right now today. Don't carry it into the new year. Go into the new year totally and completely free. Undaunted by the things of the world. Total freedom was gained at the cross. That's what God's telling me right now. Total freedom. You don't have to take baggage into the new year. And God's bringing this up right now. Yeah, I'm looking around here. If you look, how many men are in this church? It's mostly women. Man, you have a work to do. You that are in here living a holy life, you've got to minister to the men. You have to bring the men out of bondage and bring them into God's light. Men are going to listen to men. They're not going to listen to women. And you men have a works to do. Are you doing your works? Are you doing your works? In Mark, for some reason or other, God's telling me to tell you, don't think about your past. You just keep on going forward with your head held high, and you do what he's calling you to do. And you minister to some of those men that even mock you. You tell them the truth and let God take care of them. Come on. God loves us all. We're supposed to take the good news to the world. I was thinking the other day, you know, I got those Trump hats and I brought them in here. One person said, I can't wear that. How big I'll get in trouble. And God said, they're ashamed of me like that too. they won't really talk about me either, because they know their actions will contradict what they're saying about me. So, if you're talking about God, does your life show it? Or because are you ashamed because you know your life isn't right, so you won't talk about God? Either way, it's a mess. It's a mess. You pastors in here, you need to stop and think, what am I doing with my life? And do I have a light that shines? Or is my light too dim to make a difference in this world? All right? Sister Elizabeth, as you step out in faith, let your light shine like you always have. Don't let anybody stop you. Man didn't call you, God did. And the only person can stop you is God. Naomi, man didn't call you, God did. And only God can stop you. And God's saying, I'm never going to stop you. You're on a forward motion. Stay there. Don't look to the past. Don't look to the right nor to the left. Keep your eyes upon God. Because he's leading your footsteps right now. Man led your footsteps before, but he's leading your footsteps now. There are some friends around about you you're going to have to drop. Because they're in a predicament and they won't listen to you. They won't even listen to the voice of God. So you're going to have to drop some of those friends. And you're just going to have to move on with God and do what God's telling you to do. Now, I don't know what God has told you about your days, but God told me I won't die, that I'm going to go into rapture. And so I said, okay, then I need to get up and get moving and do what I got to do. So I don't know if your days are numbered, if you're going to go to rapture or what, but whatever you need to do, you need to get up, move, do what God's calling you for to do. I'm hearing God say, it's time to get honest with yourself, truly honest. You're just pretending to be honest. He wants you to get truly honest with yourself right now before you come to the altar, and you have to come to grips with yourself. And the lies and the perception that you have of yourself and God, you have to get rid of it right now. And as you really want to get rid of it, you come to the altar, God's going to change you and rearrange you, and you're going to be the man or woman of God that he's called you forth to be. And I'm hearing God say, there's no gender to him in heaven, and he doesn't care if you're man or woman. If he called you, he called you. And it's that simple.